Thanks so much for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, including directions and service times, visit cbglades.com. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
So at every campus, a nice person came out and read Joshua chapter 6. It's our main text today. It's a great story. One of those famous stories in all the Bible, surely the Old Testament. And I love the 20th verse, that climactic moment. It says, "When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout." Great reading. Men gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed. The title of the message today is, "It's Almost Time to Shout." There's something powerful and catalytic when the people of God in unity say the same thing at the same time. So at all of our campuses, you're a guest. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors here at CBG. We're one church in many locations. But at all of our campuses at the same time, I want us to shout something. How about this? I want to shout when I say three. The team that's going to win the Super Bowl. The team that's going to win the Super Bowl. Not your favorite, but who you predict to win. Ready? The team that's going to win when I say three. Ready? Everybody vote. Everybody vote. Ready? One, two, three. Dolphins. Dolphins. A word of prophecy. That was a rare word of prophecy. I mean, Super Bowl next year, I'm predicting the aqua and orange. Don't look at me like that. I'm speaking in faith. Believe your pastor. Next year, it's all about the Fins. Next year. So maybe you shout out Eagles. Maybe you shout out Patriots. We love all kinds of people. Maybe you shout out, "I don't like football." If that's the case, you probably need to get saved, and this is the wrong church for you. We like football. You're watching, you know, from Afghanistan on the Hillsong Channel, like, "American football, don't understand." I know we lose our minds this time of year, but we do love all kinds of people. Church, we even love Jets fans. It's not easy. We pray for them because they're a little demented, but we even pray for this. Y'all are still living on Super Bowl III. Good night. Come on. It's almost time to shout. It's almost time. Hey, let's shout something together. The same word. Let's all shout the word, "Yeah." When I say three, everybody, every campus, ready? One, two, three. Yeah! There's power in that. And so the people of God during the time of General Joshua shouted, and the walls of massive Jericho came tumbling down. This message I really believe is going to help someone. I think God brought somebody here today. And the person that's going to help is someone that you're in. You're not casual about following God. You're not perfect. You know you're not. I'm not either. But you're sincere. You're doing it. I mean, you're trying to align your life with the Word of God. You're trying to honor God in your relationships, in your priorities, in your habits. You're at church faithfully. You might even serve. You're trying to honor God financially, and you're doing all that stuff. Yet, you're not seeing a lot of progress in your life. You're someone that you're God's promises. You recognize the power of God's promises, and you're walking in God's promises. You're persevering in the promises, but there's little perception of progress in your life. I'm working the promises. I'm just not seeing the payoff, David. I see God bless other people, and I'm not jealous of that. I don't covet that. I'm happy for them, but I don't see that in my life. I see someone else getting the raise or the promotion. I see someone else making the varsity. I see someone else, I'm single, and I'm trying to honor God in my single life, but I'm not meeting that special someone. I just don't see it. In fact, I'm working the thing so hard. I'm trying to follow Christ faithfully, but I feel like sometimes, just being candid, I feel like I'm spinning my wheels, or I'm just kind of going around in circles, or the icon for my life would be that little buffeting circle, you know, when you're waiting for something to come up on the computer. Isn't that the most annoying thing? That's my life right there. That's my life. It's just doing this. I keep waiting for my blessing to download, and I'm not seeing progress. There's no forward movement. Doesn't seem any discernible divine momentum, and I want that. Okay, if that's you, you stay in Joshua chapter 6. Jets fan, you got it? I'll do it slow for the Jets fans. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter what? I'm trying to be kind. Joshua 6. You stay in the Old Testament, and I'm going to show you a promise from the New Testament. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 is on the screen at every campus, and I love this one. It says, listen, this is so strong. "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap." That's what you're looking for, the harvest. You're looking for the payoff. You're looking for that end outcome. "We shall reap if we do not lose heart." If we do not lose heart, turn to somebody, turn to your neighbor, stare them in the eye, man. Awkward eye contact. Say, "Man, don't you give up. I know you're tired. Don't you quit. Don't you tap out." The Word of God says God's promises are faithful and true, and God is not just a promise maker. God is a promise keeper. Don't you quit. It's not time to quit. Keep working the promise of God. This is one of the best texts in all the Bible. This story is so rich. Now, if you're new to CBG, our church demographic is this. A few of us grew up going to church. And so if you grew up going to church or Sunday school or Hebrew school, you learn this story, you know, flannel board Joshua and the Israelites. Maybe as a kid you learned this. But most of us did not grow up going to church. Now, here's one time, as we said this, it might be good if you did not grow up going to church and don't know all the details of the story, because sometimes these stories are so powerful, if you hear them over and over, they become kind of cliche. The details are lost, because this is something so unorthodox, so outstanding. So I'm envious of you if you're kind of hearing this maybe the first time. This Joshua and Jericho and walking around this walled city, massive walls, barred gates. And so this text is so fresh and so rich. So I'm going to go back and just look at some parts, but read the whole thing this week for homework, the entirety of Joshua chapter 6. We're going to back up next week and hit chapters 4, chapter 5. You'll do a little Quentin Tarantino nonlinear Bible teaching. Here we go. But chapter 6 is so good. In fact, the first two verses are on the screen right now, and they have a built-in conflict. Sometimes in life, you deal with this tension that you see demonstrated here in the first two verses of this famed story. Read the highlighted part. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because the Israelites. So Jericho, by the way, one of the oldest continually inhabited cities in the history of the human family. And the reason it was so successful as a settlement was these massive walls and these giant gates. So it says, guess what? The gates are closed, man. They're barred. They're tightly shut up. None went out. None came in. Now look at verse 2. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. Do you see the contextual inconsistency of verse 1 and verse 2? Verse 1 says, hey, it ain't happening. They're prepared for you. They saw you coming. The gates are barred. There's no way. And then God says, see, it's done. See, the victory is yours. See, sometimes in life, there's this conflict between what we see and what God says. You see, we see the circumstantial. We see the earthly realm. We see the flesh. We see what is before our eyes. But faith is walking not by sight. Faith is walking by the word of God. If God gave you a promise, the promises of God never fail. And Joshua, verse 2, is walking the promise God made in chapter 1, where God said to the young leader, Joshua, guess what? Every place you touch, I'm giving to you. This is my land. I promised you. My reputation and my integrity is at stake. Sometimes there's that tension between what God says and what you see. Now, week number one of this series, I hope you're here week number one. I talked about the first obstacle in the ninja course of the promised land. It was the Jordan River, Joshua chapter 3. And God calls the people to cross the river. But I talked about, you know, good people, effective people make the right decisions at the right time. And God's timing is not just good. God's timing is perfect. And God calls the people of God, about 2 million strong, about 400,000 soldiers, to cross the Jordan River right in front of Jericho. Then I love biblical detail. We get the detail. Cross the river, and it says the Jordan River was at flood stage. Flood stage, translation. That's the worst time to try to cross a river. That's what's deepest and widest, and the flow is most pure. That's the worst time. But God's time is always the right time. And it may seem like the wrong time, but if it's God's time, it's go time every time. And so they cross the Jordan at flood stage. God works a miracle. They cross on dry land. And now what they see are the walled city. The gates are barred. But God gave them a word. This is yours. This is yours. Now, how do you discern God's timing? Remember week number one, I said there are four criteria to understand God's perfect timing. Four things. Scripture is number one. Right, scripture, and then a circumstance of the next two. Sometimes there's a closed door, or I call it a stop sign. Other times God opens the door circumstantially. I call that a green light. That I talked about finally your feelings. You know it's the right time to make that God decision based on your feelings and your emotions. And actually, that's not true. I told you to delete that one because I found in my life, I never feel like doing the thing God calls me to do. Can I just be, don't look at me like that. I judgy people, yeah. God calls me to make a move. I always feel unworthy or ill-prepared or like, God, I it's too soon or God, it's too late. And God, I'm so messed up. Feelings will jack you. But also circumstances will mess with you. See, the one that trumps the others here is Scripture. If you have a clear scriptural imperative, you have a command of God, you have a clear thou shalt or thou shalt not in the Word of God, you know it's go time. When God says do something, you see that part of your life or your priorities, or your relationships, or your finances is not aligned with Scripture, as quickly as possible, I want to step into the sweet spot of God's obedience and align my life right away, no matter what the circumstances seem to be saying. God's word over what I see. So it seems like a closed door. It seems like a stop sign, but God says make the move. I trust God and make the move. So you think that stop sign, that difficult circumstance, is an indicator that God's not in this. No. The gates were barred because the enemies of God were intimidated by the people of God. Sometimes it's reflective. The devil's not going to just sit back and watch you waltz into the promised land. He's going to try to put some blocks in your way, some barriers, some obstacles in your way. There's always barriers between you and your blessing. But if God has spoken, make a move. Your time is right now. I love what my brilliant colleague Stephen Furtick said. I just want to put this up on the screen. He says, the intensity of the opposition is a direct reflection of the enormity of God's promise. Don't trust in what you see. God says, trust in what I've said. In fact, God's word is so final and conclusive. I even like there in verse 2, he says, see, I have delivered. We've not even fought the fight yet, Lord. Yeah. Your victory is so assured, God speaks about your victory for a future fight in the past tense. Trust in what God has said. All right, and then you know, for the people who went to Sunday school back when, or people knew the story of the sequence of events we read together quickly. So how are they going to attack Jericho? What's the battle strategy or plan? Okay, let's see. You're going to be seven priests, seven trumpets, one Ark of the Covenant. That's the thing that represented the presence, the power, and the purpose of God. This is not Joshua's fight. This is God's fight. About 400,000 soldiers from the 12 tribes of Israel. What's going to happen is first day, day number one, they wake up early. Any early birds in the house? Woo! All right, they're early birds. All right, early birds. You're at the 10 o'clock. I believe you. I asked at the 1 o'clock, and they raise their hand. They're lying. They're all lying then. All right, wake up early. And then one lap around the walled city, back to camp. By the way, in silence, we're given a decree in silence. Nobody talking, nobody shouting yet. It's not time to shout yet. Day two, another lap. Day three, another lap. A single lap on day four, five, and six. Then day seven, you notice, wake up early. Jets fan, wake up early on day number seven. And this time in silence, they go around the, you know, one, two, three, four, five, six. Six times going around the city of Jericho. Then on the seventh time, at the end of the seventh time, they blow the horn. And everyone shouts, and these walls just collapse. And the people go in and take possession. They overcome the obstacle, and they receive the promise. So you got the gate. All right, there it is. If you went to Sunday school, you know this one. If you're new, you're thinking, that's a weird plan. You think, that's a strange battle plan to take down a city. Wait, where are they building the siege equipment? The ramparts, right? Battering rams. You're just walking around in circles like the whole buffering thing. That's what they're going to do. That is a weird plan. Again, look at the scripture with fresh eyes. It is absolutely absurd. It's unorthodox. It's unprecedented. It's a weird. It worked one time in the history of warfare. I don't think they ever tried it again. No one's at West Point teaching the Joshua strategy for taking out a city. No one, right? This is a weird plan. So what is God doing here? Why like the 7 days? If you all new to Church by the Glades, I love the question why. I think a good, honest why question never offends God. So if you read a story like this, and it's kind of weird, ask why. So why 7 days? Because we're talking about the unlimited God. It could have taken 7 seconds. God could have said, okay, shout, done. Go and take it. But why 7 days? Okay, here's one reason why I think God is giving 7 days, giving the people of Jericho a chance to repent. I think it's actually 7 days of grace. You see, the Bible teaches clearly that God loves and he chose Israel. And he chose Israel. He did not choose for that land the people of Jericho. But though he didn't choose them, he still loves them. Now, full disclosure, they're horrible people. People in Jericho are despicable people. I mean, they're evil, wicked, they're cruel, they're violent, their barbaric nature is legendary. They sacrifice their own children to demonic deities. They practice mass sexual assault on their own citizens. I mean, they are horrible people. Anybody here know like a really rotten person, despicable person? Raise your hand. Anybody just, oh my gosh, they're raise your hand. Did you bring your hater to church? Yeah. All right, that kind of person. Oh my gosh, God doesn't love that person. Yeah, actually, he does. Now, he hates their sin, but John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So God loves like good people, and God loves really messy people. So I believe God loved the people of Jericho. So why the 7 days? Well, the people of Jericho, Joshua chapter 2, they knew that was not really their land. They knew they were squatters and usurpers in the promised land, and God's given them 7 days to pack up the SUV, wave the right flag, and say, okay, we're sorry. We know we don't belong here. We're going to trust God and repent and seek forgiveness. And guess what? If they had done that, God had gave them their own promised land. It was 7 days because they were out of bounds to get their lives right. Why belabor that? Here's the reason why. At one of our campuses, there's somebody right here, and you're here in church today. Awesome. You're going to church, but the only part of your life you give to God is a little slice of your Sunday. And all these other big areas of your life, you're so out of bounds and you know it. I'm not judging you. It's just, you know, in your relationships or your habits or whatever, you're just totally violating what God wants you to do. And you know what you're thinking is, but I'm okay. Hey, preacher, I'm good. I know I'm sinning, blah, 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 but I'm fine. I'm happy. My life is cool. It's a party. And you don't know that judgment is circling your life right now. And that things are about to implode and collapse. You don't, you're saying God's going to zap me? God's going to get me with lightning bolts? God, no, God's not going to get you, but sooner or later your sin is going to get you. And when you align your decisions with hell, there's always a hell of a kickback coming. So the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And God is protecting you right now. He's insulating you right now. He's giving you one last chance. The Bible says it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. He's giving you this chance to come home and make your life right. Why 7 days? I think one reason was he's giving grace to the people of Jericho, 7 days, the last days to make their lives right and align with God. But listen, it's a weird plan. It's a weird plan. If you look at this with fresh eyes, they're marching in circles. Are you kidding me? We're just not saying a word, not building equipment. That's weird. In fact, know where Joshua gets this weird plan from? It's reiterated in chapter 6, the place he gets it from. Well, my Bible, immediately preceding chapter 6. I mean, just before chapter 6 in my Bible, I find chapter, thank you, you're with me, chapter 5. And if you want to read this, especially for the deep people in the house, like deep biblical details, in chapter 5, latter part, Joshua meets this supernatural heavenly being called the captain of the host of the armies of the living God. This is really kind of cool. And this captain is the one, verse 14, that gives him a message or gives him this unorthodox plan. Now, here's the cool thing. Who's this captain? Well, you might assume this captain is an angel. It's a, AKA, he's an angel. Well, maybe, but probably not. Now, angels, by the way, in the Bible, they don't look like paintings from the Renaissance. See the Hallmark angels, little naked babies wearing diapers, little wings, you know, those Cupid looking. No. In the Bible, angels are heavenly warriors. They're the mighty messengers of God. They are so awesome in their appearance. When one shows up in front of a human being, the human being typically has one or two responses. Number one, they faint. They're terrified out of their mind. They wet themselves, right? Or they're so moved, the angel's so awesome, the human being falls to his knees and begins to worship the angel. And every single time that happens, the angel says, stop it. Get up, don't worship me. Yeah, I'm pretty awesome and everything, but I was made by God just like you. I'm a creature just like you. He's the creator. Reserve worship exclusively for Almighty God. Don't worship me. But Joshua, listen, chapter 5. Detail. He worships the captain. Therefore, the captain is not merely an angel. So who is he? Okay, there's something called a Christophany by the theologians, a Christophany. That's a pre-Bethlehem appearance of Jesus in the Bible. It's just like, you know, the whole story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the fourth guy in the furnace who looked like the Son of God. It was the Son of God. This is Jesus before the incarnation. And so, and by the way, in Jesus, this is really cool. Jesus' Hebrew name was Joshua. So it's the New Testament Joshua, given the Old Testament Joshua, here's the plan for your victory. And Joshua gets it. He worships Jesus and goes, oh my gosh. Oh. Hey, God, no offense, but this is really a weird plan. And everybody's thinking this. And God, you know, I'm the new guy. This is my first thing to do, like after Moses. My first time I'm out there, right, and you give me a march in circles thing? That's what you give me? They're going to think I'm nuts. They're going to think, listen, God's plan, God's promise, as far as the world sees things, it won't make sense. It's unorthodox. It's counterintuitive. It seems illogical. When God speaks, it's crazy. Yeah, but go with the promise of God until everyone thinks you're kind of crazy. See, listen, and it typically is a plan. You ask God for a miracle, God will typically give you a plan. He won't give you the miracle, he'll give you a plan. So you want a miracle? God says, here's your plan. So God has a plan for your marriage. God has a plan for your money. God has a plan for your priorities. God has a plan for your victory. But you ask God for a miracle or a blessing, typically God will give you a plan. And God says this now you work the plan and I'll bless the plan. You work the plan, I'll work the walls. You keep working the plan, I'll work the miracle. The plan is your part, the miracle is my part. I've said it before, he will add his super to your natural, but you must do in the natural everything that God has called you to do. So this plan, this unorthodox fan, is something they can do. He's not going to snap his fingers and take down the wall. They have a faith action step. So what is God doing? I think, number one, he's giving time for the bad guys to repent, the people of Jericho, to ask for forgiveness and seek God. And I think he's also doing this. He's teaching them the power of small things. I really believe in life. It's vital that you do small things well. You hear it said, oh, the devil's in the details. No, divinity's in the details. And sometimes in life, when you are facing a wall, because if you have big goals and big dreams, there's always going to be big barriers and big walls. They go hand in hand, right? If you have a big vision for your life, you're going to have big challenges in your life. So sometimes you look at the challenge, it's just so overwhelming, you know, and you feel like, I'm befuddled. I'm overmatched. It feels like there's nothing you can do. No, there's always something you can do, but it might be a small something. Become great with small things. Here's no extra charge for this. Go on YouTube and type in your search Admiral McRaven, University of Texas, commencement 2014. This guy's a very accomplished man. He's you know, chief military leader, former Navy SEAL. And he gives this great speech to a bunch of graduating seniors. And he says this, if you want to change the world, start, what's it going to be? Where's it going to land? You want to change the world, start by making your bed. Make your bed every single day. Yeah, it's a little disarming. Now, the whole speech is great. But here's what he says. If you start by making your bed, number one, that's something within your control. Number two, you start your day with a victory. You start your day with a small win. And then number three, if your whole day sucks, if your day is terrible, at least you crawl into a beautifully made bed when your day is over. So start by making your bed. Unless you're like our family, we have like 37 decorative pillows. Who came up with that idea? Nobody needs that. Stack those neatly in the side of the room unless guests are coming to see your room for some reason and just make the rest of the bed, right? Small things. Let's kind of walk through this famous story again. What was the catalytic event that God leveraged to take down the walls? You'd probably say the shout. When everybody shouted together, man, the walls came tumbling down like the old song. Like the walls. So the shout, it was a shout. Okay, what preceded the shout? Silence, seven priests. Seven horns, the ark, 400,000 fighting men, lap seven, day seven. What preceded that? Lap six. Before that, lap five. Before that, four, three, two, one. Before that, wake up early in the morning, day seven. What came before day seven? Jets fan? Day six. Come on, he knew it. He knew that. Come on. Day six, I'm just kidding, you know that, just kidding, just having fun. Day six, one lap on day six. Day five, how many laps? Day five, one. Day four, one. Day three comes before day four, there'd be one. Day two, one. Day one, wake up early in the morning, one lap. Now let's take that apart. What is a lap? Let's pretend like they were going, counterclockwise. It's all the NASCAR fans. NASCAR fans, counterclockwise. So what's a lap? It's a series of four left-hand turns. What comes between and constitutes left-hand turns as a sequence of steps. Whole bunch of steps because you got 400,000 guys, 12 tribes, whole bunch of guys taking a sequence of steps. So what's the sum total of a sequence? It's taking the next small step in front of you. I would argue it's not merely the shout that led to the miracle. It's the sum total of every single small step, every lap, every day. So that first step on the first lap of the first day is just as crucial as a concluding shout on the seventh lap of the seventh day. So let's think about this together. So what is the small step that God has placed before you? And it seems so insignificant compared to the challenge. This big wall, but let's take it. Let's say, I've never read the Bible very much. All right, let's go to your phone today and download the Church by the Glades app or YouVersion. Get a reading plan. Let's start, not tomorrow, let's start today. Are you going to read the whole Bible today? Probably not. Can you read a chapter or two today? Yeah, we get the thing started. We start building some momentum. Let's just take that step. And you take the first step, and it leads to the second step, which leads to the third step, which leads to the fourth step. And all of a sudden, you're at a left-hand turn, right? And all of a sudden, you know, you're getting a lap. You're getting some traction. You're going. We're getting some movement, momentum, and progress in our life. So what is it? Algebra 2. Ain't no reason to take Algebra 2. I'm a junior taking algebra. Pastor David, this will never be used in my life. You are probably correct. But is the thing that's before you right now? Scripture says, let it be said that he or she does all things well. You're learning critical problem solving. You're looking to stick with the task. You're going to give it your best. Why? You're not going to be a mathematician, but you're honoring God in this area. You battle with addiction or a habit. What's your step? You show up here on Thursday for Celebrate Recovery. And your first step is to show up and start working the 12 steps that will get you your victory. You with me? Financial Peace University. Some of y'all did not sign up last week. You're going to spend the next year, what, just stressed out in debt? I got the signups again in the lobby because some of y'all need an extra week. They start today and they start Wednesday. You make all kinds of stupid impulse decisions. We all do. Make a brilliant impulse decision. Register. Go ahead. You start working the plan. You start walking in the plan. God works the miracle. Every step matters. Oh, if you're watching online on TV, that's about 40% of the people. So for the 60% that are resisting this idea, let me kind of show you how this just works everywhere in life. God will weave these principles into the fabric of the universe. Small steps make major differences. And steps that are small will take down great walls if you will trust God. All right, so physics. Weren't you hoping that Pastor David would break out physics? Yeah. Sunday morning physics, yeah. Yeah, nobody. All right. How about this dominoes? Some of the cultures, man, love dominoes, man. Cayocho, people playing dominoes. I went to school in Texas. Old people on 4th of July play dominoes. All right, so I made the team. This is based on something we saw online a physicist do. His name was Stephen Morse. And talk about the power of momentum. And so I had the team make the biggest domino I've ever seen. And it's right here. This domino is huge. This domino is, you know, between 1 and 2 meters. It weighs about 60 pounds. I mean, this is a big, heavy domino. Let this domino represent that big challenge in your life. Bless you. That big financial challenge, that relational dysfunction. Maybe there's an addiction. I don't know. Maybe your marriage has been kind of messy and toxic, not for a few weeks, but years or decades. And you're like, man, there's no way. Now, I had the team make also the smallest domino I've ever seen. And can y'all see that? Here you go. Wait. There we go. All right, that is 5 millimeters tall by 1 millimeter wide. It's tiny. That's tiny. Now, this represents your next step. Oh, it's so small. That next little thing that you can do, that's within your power, within your volition, that's your next step. Academically, athletically, relationally, as far as a habit or discipline, so that's that next little thing in front of you. Maybe it's just to show up to church next week. Make the decision now, non-negotiable. This is a habit. I'm going to invest in myself every week, right? So here it is. Now you look at this compared to this. Like, it's not going to make a difference, right? My life is this. Fall. You know? Walls in Jesus' name collapse, right? It's nothing. And in this society when we want everything done now, right? In this binge watch everything, express my opinion in 280 character society, right? We got no time and patience. We want this. We want to jump from here to here. Like, we want to jump from day one to shouting. There is a process to progress. Don't claim God's promise, but curse God's process. And that was pretty good, wasn't it? And so maybe your little step is a little step. Take the step. And all I can say is there's power. And I won't even put this in place because it is so small. The production team had to put this in place with tweezers. But again, this is the exact same size
That one's about 60 pounds. I hope this worked. It worked last night. I'm going to trigger the first one. Step doesn't matter. No, it does. That step may change the course and direction of your life, of your marriage, of your parenting. If I go register for financial peace, nothing's going to change. Guess what? You might be shocked. God's about to take down those massive walls in your life. He's about to begin your emancipation, and the start is so small. David, you don't get how messy and broken I am. I got issues. Man, I know these little nice church people, they stole a cookie from the cookie jar and told a white lie, but I got big stuff. You know, Dr. Morris said there were 13 in that sequence. If we had to go all the way to 27, just merely 27 dominoes, that 27th would not fit in this building or on this property, because the 27th, all triggered by this, would be the size of the Empire State Building. Steps that are small will take down a big wall. And the last thing I think God is communicating to the people, and I'll close with this, it's kind of obvious, is, man, you got to see it through to the end. There's somebody here, you're kind of midway in the whole process, and you're about to tap out because you don't see the progress, you're not seeing, and you got to see it through. I think God is teaching his people the power of perseverance. The whole Galatians 6:9, it's not time to shout yet, shouting time's coming, but you can't shout until you take all the steps. See, what brought down the wall was clearly the people of God in unity shouting together. Dolphins fans, Jets fans, Patriots fans, didn't matter, man. They were together, all the tribes shouting together in unity. But what preceded the shout? The seventh lap. Before the seventh lap, the sixth. Before that, the fifth, the fourth, the third, the first. Before the seventh day, the first day in a single lap. Before the sixth day, a fifth day in a single lap. Before the fifth, the fourth, third, second, first. One lap is left-hand turns, left-hand turns. Next step. I got some big issues. I'm not sure the next step's going to do it. Let's just take the next step and trust God. Let's take the next step and trust God. I'm feeling a little foolish. I mean, in fact, the Bible doesn't say, but I think here's why God commanded the people to march in silence. Because they'd have been ripping Joshua. They'd have been like, this Joshua guy is an idiot. We never did this under Moses. Can you believe this? We're walking around. They're laughing at us up there. This is so illogical. We're getting nowhere. Who hired this guy? Did we vet his resume? I mean, good night. Joshua, where's Moses? The power of perseverance. Ecclesiastes, it says, chapter 7, verse 8, says the conclusion of a matter is better than its beginning. Man, you just got to stick with it. You're about to quit. You're about to hang it up because you're not seeing progress. See, here's the thing. This is not an incremental miracle. I mean this. If God would have just given him a little something on the first day, right? Not the whole wall, but the first day, just something. Can we have like a little rumble in the ground? Just a little bit of crumbs falling, small rocks, just something to let us know, God, this thing has worked. We're making some, but nothing. Day number one, they got nothing. And day number two, nothing. Maybe it could have been this. It's a seven-day miracle. Maybe God could have worked it so every day one-seventh of the wall came tumbling down. But through days 4, 5, 6, 7, lap 1, lap 2, lap 3, lap 4, lap 5, lap 6, one left-hand turn, second left-hand turn, third left-hand turn, seventh lap. You know what had happened at that point? Nothing. No evidence of progress at all, yet all heaven was about to be released, all the power of God on their behalf. They were just a few short steps away, and I'm thinking there's somebody here, and that is you, and I'm proud of you, because guess what? You're here. I'm proud of you. You're still taking those steps. You're not giving. You battle thoughts of depression and suicide, but you've not surrendered to those. You're getting counseling. You're getting help because you recognize there's a God who made you a promise, and this God's a promise keeper. See, I don't want you to quit not knowing you're on day 7. You're about to complete your 7th lap. And I know you've not seen the breakthrough. And I know you've not seen the miracle. I know the walls seem as big and as bad as ever. But I believe those walls are about to fall. Because I believe God's people. We're getting ready to shout. We're getting ready to shout.
We're believing the promises of God. We're working the plan, and God will keep his promise, and the victory will be ours. Just remain standing. We're almost done. Don't leave yet. Don't leave yet. Don't leave yet. Don't leave yet. Game's not till this afternoon. You're cool. Hey, listen, there's somebody here in this place. Your next step is to give your heart to Christ. If you're not certain and sure you're saved, it's not a weird thing. It's a really cool relational thing. Make that your move today. So at every campus, there'll be nice folks on the edge of the stage. So you come and do that. And then, by the way, next week, if you want to see God move in the church, don't miss next week. Then the week after next week, my favorite speaker is going to be here speaking. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I'm not going to tell you. My favorite speaker. And think of what we've had in the house. We've had some amazing people. This is going to be my favorite speaker here in 2 weeks. And then we're going to unleash a series in 3 weeks called Melt Your Face. It's going to be so awesome. If you like the movie The Greatest Showman, you're going to like that series. Just saying, don't miss a week, man. God's going to do great things. He wants to tear down those walls in your life. Amen? Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the power of your promises if we persist. Though there's no perception of progress, we're going to go with what you said, not what we see. We see these gates are tightly shut up. But God said, see, I've already delivered your Jericho into your hands. I'm going to set you free to do great things in Jesus' name. And we make this prayer together in unity, shouting, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message at Church by the Glades. Stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CB Glades and at Pastor D. Hughes.